So today is a special service dedicated to the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I found one quotation where Srila Prabhupada, he talks about Lord Jesus Christ, and so I thought it was appropriate. Let's see, who do we have that could read it? Yeah, take the mic.
So this is entitled "Jesus Christ Was a Guru," right? The spiritual leader of the Hare Krishna movement here recognizes Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the representative of God, our Guru, our spiritual master. Yet he has some sharp words for those who currently claim to be Christ's followers. The Srimad Bhagavatam states that any bona fide preacher of God consciousness must have the qualities of titiksha, tolerance, and karuna, compassion. In the character of Lord Jesus Christ, we find both these qualities. He was so tolerant that even while he was being crucified, he didn't condemn anyone. And he was so compassionate that he prayed to God to forgive the very persons who were trying to kill him. Of course, they could not actually kill him, but they were thinking that he could be killed, so they were committing a great offense. As Christ was being crucified, he prayed, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing." A preacher of God consciousness is a friend to all living beings. Lord Jesus Christ exemplified this by teaching, "Thou shalt not kill." But the Christians like to misinterpret this instruction. They think the animals have no soul, and therefore they think they can freely kill billions of innocent animals in the slaughterhouses. So although there are many persons who profess to be Christians, it would be very difficult to find one who strictly follows the instructions of Lord Jesus Christ. A Vaishnava is unhappy to see the sufferings of others. Therefore, Lord Jesus Christ agreed to be crucified to free others from their suffering. But his followers are so unfaithful that they have decided, "Let Christ suffer for us, and we'll go on committing sin." They love Christ so much that they think, "My dear Christ, we are very weak. We cannot give up our sinful activities, so you please suffer for us." Jesus Christ taught, "Thou shalt not kill." But his followers have now decided, "Let us kill anyway." And they open big, modern, scientific slaughterhouses. If there is any sin, Christ will suffer for us. This is a most abominable conclusion. Christ can take the sufferings for the previous sins of his devotees, but first they have to be sane. Quote, "Why should I put Jesus Christ into suffering for my sins? Let me stop my sinful activities." End quote. Suppose a man, the favorite son of his father, commits a murder. And suppose he thinks, "If there is any punishment coming for my father, my father can suffer for me." Will the law allow it? When the murderer is arrested and says, "No, no, you can release me and arrest my father. I am his pet son." Will the police officials comply with that fool's request? He committed the murder, but he thinks his father should suffer the punishment. Is that a sane proposal? No, you have committed the murder. You must be hanged. Similarly, when you commit sinful activities, you must suffer, not Jesus Christ. This is God's law. Jesus Christ was such a great personality, the Son of God, the representative of God. He had no fault. Still, he was crucified. He wanted to deliver God consciousness, but in return, they crucified him. They were so thankless. They could not appreciate his preaching. But we appreciate him and give him all honor as a representative of God. Of course, the message that Christ preached was just according to his particular time, place, and country, and just suited for a particular group of people. But certainly, he is a representative of God. Therefore, we adore Lord Jesus Christ and offer obeisances to him. Once in Melbourne, a group of Christian ministers came to visit me. They asked, "What is your idea of Jesus Christ?" I told them, "He is our guru. He is preaching God consciousness. So he is our spiritual master." The ministers very much appreciated that. Actually, anyone who is preaching God's glories must be accepted as a guru. Jesus Christ is one such great personality. We should not think of him as an ordinary human being. The scriptures say that anyone who considers the spiritual master to be an ordinary man has a hellish mentality. If Jesus Christ were an ordinary man, then he could not have delivered God consciousness. So that's the end of that section. And then there's a Mr. O'Grady.
Hare Krishna. I have a difficulty in understanding this help. I suffered a stroke in October, end of October 2008, and so half of my face is paralyzed, so I'll try to speak slowly and clearly. I hope you understand. Can you understand me? If you do have difficulty, then raise your hand. Sometimes I get excited when I speak. So, as Prabhupada said, we accept Lord Jesus Christ as a guru, as our spiritual master, because he preached the message of God consciousness. We don't like to refer to God as much by his title, like God is a title. We'd rather refer to him by his one of his personal names, like Krishna, the all-attractive, or Govinda, who gives pleasure to the senses, or something like that. Vishnu, the all-pervasive. He has got unlimited millions of names. So you'd rather call him by one of these Sanskrit names. This is our own preference. But Prabhupada, he was thinking that if you don't, if you rather address God by one of his other names, in Hebrew name or Arabic name or some other name, well, there are other names of God. And so you could also say Jesu Christo. If you have time, then I'll read one quote about that. I had one disciple. She's a superior nun in the Roman Catholic Church. And she attended one of my lectures, and I was advising her that she chant, if you don't want to chant Hare Krishna, then chant Jesu Christo. She was from South America, so in Spanish, Jesus Christ is called Jesu Christo. So she started to chant Jesu Christo, Jesu Christo, 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 Jesu, 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 Christo, Jesu. And, she found it was a very good way of meditating. She thought, it's almost like Hare Krishna. Why don't I just try it? No one's watching. So she was trying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And she found she got more inspiration, more spiritual energy from chanting Hare Krishna, which is the name of the Father. Jesus said he was the Son. But so she started to regularly chant Hare Krishna, and she later took initiation. But she continued to be a nun and do her service to God, to Krishna, to Jesus Christ as a nun. But she chants Hare Krishna. They don't know what she chants. No one knows what they chant in the rosary, but she chants Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we don't have any problem with people, even if they follow some other religion, if they also chant Hare Krishna and follow these four regular principles. Prabhupada, he was stressing that Jesus, when he was 12 years old, he went to the synagogue and he saw they were like sacrificing pigeons and animals, and he was very upset that why they're doing this in my father's house, why they're cutting animals, and he created a son. A commotion there. So, he said to follow the Ten Commandments. So one of the commandments is thou shalt not kill. So Srila Prabhupada, he raised his point many times that if you're a follower of Jesus, you should follow what he said. Or she used to say, I believe, I follow. You don't follow. Just believing is not enough. You should follow whatever the guru is that you follow. And so, since he said, thou shalt not kill, you shouldn't kill. So he had a long discussion with one Cardinal Donilu. And there, he raised his point that why do you kill the animals? And he said, well, we think that humans are made in the image of God, so they're sacred, but they're not the same as the beast. The beast have no soul. He said, how can you say they have no soul? And in the Bhagavad Gita it says, sarva yonishu, that all the creatures are having a soul. They are the soul. So, they are eating, humans are eating, animals are sleeping, humans are sleeping, animals are defending, humans are defending, animals are mating, humans are mating. So what's the difference? Why you should eat animal, and then, so they raised different points. Well, it's really not important. It's a secondary issue. It's important to love God. So if you sacrifice the animals that are created by God, if you eat them, then it's one thing if you're starving and there's no other food, but if there's enough, there's grains, there's vegetables, there's fruits, there's milk, there's so many products that one can eat. So why should you eat the animals if you don't need it? So like that, Prabhupada, he raised his point that if you want to be a follower of Jesus, you should follow what Jesus ordered. What's the use of just getting lip service and not following? So Prabhupada, like I was born in a Christian family. I was an acolyte and a assistant priest when I was a teenager and all that. I was never asked that I should reject Jesus Christ to become a Hare Krishna devotee or to practice Bhakti Yoga. He never requested that anyone has to reject Muhammad or reject Jesus. Or he described that this is like the you can say preliminary education, and then what he's teaching is how, what's a systematic system, how to love God. Like Jesus said that we should love God. How to do it. So in his time and place and circumstance, he gave the teachings which were appropriate for that people. In his Lord's Prayer, he said, Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So what was the name of God though? I happened to, before I came to Krishna consciousness, I was reading the book of Solomon, and he practiced the chanting of the holy names, and he would make yantras with the holy names. He used the Hebrew names, Jehovah, Adonai, I forget the other two, but there were four names. He'd make a circle, and sit in the middle, and meditate. So he was, I'd already had some, like, that the holy name is very powerful. Lord Chaitanya taught that all the power of the Lord is in his name. So we should chant the names of God. So this you can say hints were given by Jesus, or more than a hint, I mean the statements where he said that the name of God is holy and is sacred. But what was the name of God? Now in Hebrew they say Jehovah, Adonai. In Sanskrit we say Krishna. So whichever name of God you like to chant, that's alright, but we should chant the name of God in this age of Kali. That's a special thing. Now the appearance of the a person of a guru is restricted. We in our tradition we observe it as the Vyasa Tuja, because in our tradition we are all the representatives of the Vyasadeva. So in Prabhupada was saying that in the Vedic tradition there's the four sampradayas or four distinct successions mentioned in the Padma Purana. This is Sri, Rudra, Kumar, and Brahma. We come in the Brahma sampradaya. Otherwise, the Sri sampradaya means it comes from Lakshmi Devi. The Kumar sampradaya means it comes from the four Kumars. And Rudra sampradaya means it comes from Lord Shiva. So, in the Vedic tradition, you have to receive the mantras, one of these four. Sometimes people ask us, do we say we're the only religion that can send you back to God? We don't say that. We say in the Vedic tradition, there's four. So, Prabhupada, he said, there are other traditions, and like the Christian, or the Bible, or the Islam. So, if someone is in touch with the original teachings, if by his preaching, by his instructions, he can awaken love for Godhead in the people, then we also respect him as a guru, as a spiritual master. So Jesus was such a person. He could do that. Whether others can do it or not, I think there are others that did that, that had awakened in love for Godhead, but I didn't do a study or anything about how many or who, but there are. So, those other traditions which have awakened the love for Godhead, They're also respectable. They're also the bona fide tats. And I was very unfortunate, you can say that maybe. I didn't find anyone who could awaken that love for God yet in me. Well, that doesn't mean there wasn't people, but I just didn't come across them. But Bhaktivedanta Swami, he was able to awaken that. And by that, also my appreciation for Jesus, my appreciation for the whole Bible was also increased by his teachings. So Jesus is a personality who has dedicated his life to giving the message of Godhead to everyone. And there's a period of his life where he was missing. After 16, he was missing. So, 30 years late or something? How? Huh? 30, okay. Yeah, so, in the Jagannath Puri, they say that they have a record that he visited Jagannath Puri. He was known as Ishatutra, son of God. They also, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, they say that he visited Tibet. It's hard to say. But there's these records that he came to India. A discussion with one doctor, Father Emmanuel, Prabhupada was discussing that he should chant the names of Godhead. Now, he was saying, well, we believe that Jesus Christ is the name of God. So then, you hear that? It's very interesting, the discussion they had. This is it. So I can read.
Srila Prabhupada, what is the meaning of the word Christ? Prabhupada is asking Father Emmanuel. And Father Emmanuel says, Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, meaning the anointed one. Srila Prabhupada, Christos is the Greek version of the word Krishna. And then Father Emmanuel, this is very interesting. Srila Prabhupada, when an Italian person or an Indian person calls on Krishna, he often says, Krista. Krista in Sanskrit word meaning attraction. So when we address God as Christ, Krista, or Krishna, we indicate the same all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Jesus said, Our Father who is in heaven, sanctified be thy name. That name of God was Krista or Krishna. Do you agree? Father Emmanuel, I think Jesus, as the Son of God, has revealed to us the actual name of God, Christ. We can call God Father, but if we want to address him by his actual name, we have to say Christ. Srila Prabhupada, yes, Christ is another way of saying Krista, and Krista is another way of pronouncing Krishna, the name of God. Jesus said that one should glorify the name of God. But yesterday I heard one theologian say that God has no name, that we can call him only Father. A son may call his father Father, but the Father also has a specific name. Similarly, God is the general name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose specific name is Krishna. Therefore, whether you call God Christ, Krista, or Krishna, ultimately you are addressing the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. Father Emmanuel, yes, if we speak of God's actual name, then we must say Christos. In our religion, we have the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe we can know the name of God only by revelation from the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ revealed the name of the Father, and therefore we take the name Christ as the revealed name of God. Srila Prabhupada, actually it doesn't matter, Krishna or Christ, the name is the same. The main point is to follow the injunctions of the Vedic scriptures that recommend chanting the names of God in this age. The easiest way to chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama and Krishna are names of God, and Hare is the energy of God. So when we chant the Maha Mantra, we address God together with His energy. This energy is of two kinds, the spiritual and the material. At present, we are in the clutches of the material energy. Therefore, we pray to Krishna that He may kindly deliver us from the service of the material energy and accept us into the service of the spiritual energy. That is our whole philosophy. Hare Krishna means, O energy of God, O God Krishna, please engage me in your service. It is our nature to render service. Somehow or other, we have to come to the service of material things, or somehow or another, we have come to the service of material things. But when this service is transferred into the service of the spiritual energy, then our life is perfect. To practice bhakti yoga, loving service to God, means to become free from designations like Hindu, Muslim, Christian, this or that, and simply to serve God. We have created Christian, Hindu, and Mohammedan religions, but when we come to a religion without designations, in which we don't think we are Hindus or Christians or Mohammedans, then we can speak of pure religion or bhakti. Jai. So that was that.
So, I've been living in India now for 39 years, almost 40 years, and sometimes they refer to us as Christos. This is a common way of Krishnas or Christos. They think like that, the Bengalis at least. And that's just the way they pronounce. So, it's as the Prophet revealed, the Christos or Krista or Krishna, it's the same. So he chants the names of the personality of Godhead. If you want to chant Krista, you want to chant Krishna, it's really the same Jesus of the of Krishna. Jesus of Christos. It's the same. This is how Prabhupada was discussing with different people. So there's a, in some places, I didn't find the exact quote, but in some places he said that Lord Jesus Christ was a Shakta Dash avatar, which means he was an empowered incarnation. And he's an individual soul, but he is in thought. Now, according to the Bhagavad Gita, we are all souls. It's not that we are humans and we have a soul. We are souls, we have a human body. Just like the covering of the thing, like he's wearing a red shirt and a green coat, and he's wearing a white sweater, and he's wearing a gray sweater. So I don't call a Mr. a red sweater, white sweater, or gray sweater. They've got personal names. Gaurachandra, Jagani Das, Bhagavad Kirtan Das. So accordingly, I don't call this lady here as pink sweater, and you don't call like that. You call by their name. So accordingly, we have different bodies, and the different bodies have different degrees of consciousness developed. Like the human body has a more advanced consciousness than the animal, but that doesn't mean the animal doesn't have a soul. Animals have a soul. All living entities have souls. Some experts in linguistics have said that in the Bible, where they say that the Lord Jesus ate meat, the word for meat is actually the word that was used in the Hebrew or the Greek in the original Bible means generally food, sustenance, and that bread. But somehow they translate it as saying meat, or specifically it doesn't actually mean necessarily that he took meat. But even if he did, then Prabhupada said, well, Shiva also could drink a whole ocean of poison. That doesn't mean we drink one drop of poison, we'll die. So we can't imitate Jesus. If he gave the instruction that thou shalt not kill, we shouldn't kill. That's his instruction. We should follow the instruction. So there's a question whether he really ate meat or not. But even if he did, because of that time and place, it was necessary, we should follow his instruction and not just imitate. But according to some authorities, he didn't also take. I had one disciple in India. Now he came from the church that was St. Thomas, one of the original apostles. He landed up in India and he was preaching his tumas in Chennai. So there's a church there that follows St. Thomas. So they have separate teachings, which are set, and so there, in their teachings, there's reincarnation and vegetarianism and everything from the Saint Augustus, who came in the 3rd century after Jesus. So they have a whole different tradition, whereas nowadays. Prabhupada said, if we didn't have all these slaughterhouses, if billions of animals weren't killed every year in the name of Jesus, then the whole world would be a different place. It would be so wonderful. So Jesus was a very compassionate person. He wanted to see the people God conscious. It was unfortunate that he was misunderstood. And he was preached. I told last night about Haridas Thakur, how he was, he said, I cannot stop chanting the name of God, even if he cut me into little pieces. So he was sentenced by the ruler at that time to the whipped in 22 marketplaces and killed. But he didn't die, he survived, and later that, ruler, he begged for forgiveness. Similarly, we have in our tradition, like Prahlad Maharaj, he also was preaching the message. His father said, you just accept the Nine God, and if you do, I will spare you. He said, how can I accept your God? You're not God. You get the power from God just like all of us. And then he said, then I will kill you. And the Lord came and seen him. In another description of Prahlad Maharaj, another Leela, at that time, he had worshipped, his father had worshipped Shila. He said, okay, you don't accept I'm God? Accept that Shila is God. He said, I cannot also accept. Vishnu is only the Supreme. Shila is his extension. So then he said, okay, if your Lord doesn't come at 6 o'clock to save you, I'm going to kill you. So, like that, all throughout history, there's been people that have been preached God consciousness and then persecuted. So, because Lord Jesus preached and he was persecuted, that's why we respect him. And he has kept up this tradition. Of course, we have in our own tradition, like there's a Vasudeva Dutta. Vasudeva Dutta, he prayed to Lord Chaitanya that he wanted to accept all of the sins of all living entities. He said, I have experienced love for Godhead. Let them all go back to Godhead. Let them all go to the spiritual world and let me suffer for their sins. Now, Jesus suffered, some say only for his followers, some say, but this Vasudeva Dutta, at least, he was willing to suffer for everybody's sins, all the people's sins. So, like that, we have also in our tradition these great souls who are willing to suffer and take the our karmas of all living entities in order that they could be God conscious. So Lord Jesus, he took that upon himself. Our different great souls took it upon themselves to preach God consciousness, even if and then that they had to undergo. Our own founder, Acharya, his divine grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami, he didn't mention his own name, but he came to America. At that time he was alone, he had $8. Now, $8 doesn't last very long, and he undergoed a heart attack while he was in the ship, and he was, when he arrived in New York, he was beaten up in the Bowery, and his stuff was stolen. He had to suffer so many difficulties, but he continued to preach Krishna consciousness in spite of all kinds of obstacles. So, like this, this is the tradition that somehow or another we have to go on giving the message of the Lord. So we're very blessed today that we can remember that amongst us, 2,000 years ago, Lord Jesus walked, and he was a person who had dedicated his life to spreading Krishna consciousness or God consciousness. Like that, we hope that all of you will also follow in his footsteps, following the footsteps of the great souls of the in our Sampradaya, like Prahlad and Vasudeva Ghosh, to take up the Krishna consciousness and spread it to your friends, to your neighbors, to your work colleagues, to whoever you can. And this way, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that such a soul who gives this message to his devotees, that he there's no one dearer to him, and that he takes such a person back to Godhead. So, like this, We want all of you to go back to Godhead. Lord Jesus, He was entombed, but after 3 days He came out again. So He exhibited great qualities. So today is the Thursday, day, so we want to thank all you for coming and enjoy the feast. We celebrate His appearance, and we hope that all of you will enjoy today's functions. Here they have the Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra Deity, which is the same deity worshipped in Jagannath Puri. There, as I said earlier, they said Lord Jesus came and visited the temple. So somehow this temple also has the same deities. So in some ways it's appropriate that we have a feast for the appearance of Lord Jesus Christ. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.